Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're a few minutes late, but there are reasons for that, of course. So let's go ahead and pray as we begin. Brother James, I wonder if you'd lead us in prayer tonight for our service, and then I'll ask Vincent to come and lead us in some hymns tonight. Amen. Okay, Brother Vincent.
I have picked out three hymns for today of the four that we're going to do. So, need to have somebody out there. Ideally, somebody who's never requested one before, want you to have the chance to pick one. So do some thinking about that, please. We're going to start with number 328. The song is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, which may seem an unusual one to start with, but the reason I chose this one, I'm thinking particularly of verse 4, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. I'm thinking of our sister Gail Dix. Of course, in that context, maybe we should change and hope to meet again, because we have full assurance we're going to meet again. We're just delighted to know exactly where she is. But number 328, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
The tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds, is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour
Next, I'd like you to turn to number 546. The song is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I heard when Pastor was doing his pastoral prayer this morning with the morning service that words felt very, very close to this very sentiment. Came right up. I was like, oh, yeah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. JL.
your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised.
I hadn't even realized that part of the lyrics there, go to a world that is dying. Nice little intro to what we're going to be hearing from you, Pastor, with the your adventures down in the Southern Hemisphere. I should very quickly apologize to everybody. I'd not put my phone on buzz there. Sorry about that. And when we're done, I'll have to go check out what that was all about. But in the meantime, now time for our third song. I asked Mr. Cartwright, I went up to him first and asked what his favorite hymn was, and he said they all were. So if you don't mind, we're about to do about 800 different songs right in a row. No? Oh, he likes number 400. He likes 400 total? He likes number 400. Well, let's see if we like 400. Keep on believing. Ah. Okay. Sounds good to me. Thank you, Mrs. Cartwright.
Subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, oftentimes sad. Keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. If all were bright, where would the cross be, and where the fight? But in the testings God gives to you, chances for proving what he can do. Keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. God is your wisdom, God is your might. God's ever near you, guiding you right. He understands you, knows all you need. Trusting in him, you'll surely succeed. Keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Never despair, live above feeling. Victory's there. Jesus can keep us so near to Him that evermore shall our faith grow dim. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day.
Thank you, Mrs. Cartwright. Mr. Cartwright, that was very good. We're going to finish with number 796. I knew I had a 796 in this book. There we are. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. The reason that I wanted to focus in this in particular was in verse 2, we have the phrase, into God's family divine, which manages to touch into both what we were taught this morning in Sunday school. Deacon Widgeon read to us the entire book of Ruth, and that Ruth was from a family that was outside of God's family and was adopted into it. I mean, as it says, under whose wings you have learned to trust. And Pastor taught to us from Romans, the book of 9, about being in God's family. Okay, everybody please stand for 796. Heaven came down. Glory filled my soul.
Wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took the offer of grace, He did proffer, He saved me, oh praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I'm a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Very good. Thank you. Everyone have a seat.
I'd like to read this evening in the book of Titus, if you'd turn your Bibles there tonight and follow along as I read in Titus for our evening scripture reading. Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Trust God will seal that to your hearts. Good word tonight. I'm going to invite JL if she'll come and share with us the special music number that she's prepared. Justification for why I should give a report to the church, either by explicit teaching or apostolic example, about a trip that I took. Yes, sir. Yes, and particularly to church in Antioch, he did as well. Acts 14, at the end of the chapter, says, and several times actually, he went up and told all the great things that God had done there among the Gentiles. And so we have that justification. And though it's not preaching per se, which we read about in Titus, that God has revealed His Word through preaching, this, I hope these pictures will give you challenge your heart to what's going on outside of our own little community here and what's going on in the world. And feel free to ask me questions during or after, if there's an appropriate point to do that. What I'm going to do right now is just walk through a presentation that was made by one of our missionaries a couple years ago, and just to introduce you to Uruguay a little bit, and I'll have some more words to say about this particular country. So any typos which I see there already are his, not mine, but we let it pass because he grew up in Uruguay. So Spanish is really kind of his first language, English his second, Dan Villette here. But the mission that I am on the U.S. Board of, Gospel Mission of South America, is structured like this. There is a general council, which is the ruling kind of board or body of the mission. The general director is the executive. That's Terry Thompson. So he carries out the work of the mission and leads the work. And then there are really six kind of departments, if you will. One for each sending country. So the United States is the biggest sending country. Then Canada and then the United Kingdom are also sending countries. And then there are three departments on the field. One for Chile, one for Uruguay, one for Argentina. Those are the only three countries that Gospel Mission of South America is in right now. And so I'm on the U.S. board. And I was sent as a representative of the U.S. board, appointed by that board to represent the U.S. side on the General Council. So I was actually functioning as a member of that committee as my part of my role down there. And we had a couple of days of business meetings after I arrived there and everybody got there. And then we had part of Friday off a couple weeks ago. And then Friday night through all day Thursday, we had conference meetings. We had Bible preaching meetings twice a day. And then several of the days, there was also an afternoon workshop that I taught. So there were on some days three and a half, 4 hours worth of teaching and Bible meetings. I had I talked through some things I'll share as we go through here that we've done before, and also took some Q&A in one of those sessions. But back to Uruguay, it is a small country. It's a great challenge. Here we have the team that's in Uruguay. And, of course, these pictures are a little bit dated. Not too bad, though. Right here you see Mariano and Becky Proto. We support them and their work in Fray Ventos. They're working with Sergio and Andrea Duarte in that city. And Sergio and his wife are also working with this man here, Bobby Villette. I'll say a little bit more about him. He has difficulty walking, but he's a missionary, single missionary, working in a town that is, he is assisted by this couple, the Duartes. He's working in a town called Jung, Y-O-U-N-G, or what's called Jung, in their, how they say it in their Spanish. Here is Bruno and Audrey Kudo. They are the camp directors at the camp where I was, which is pictured here in the background. And so they were kind of our hosts, if you will. And then there's Dan Villette and his wife, Becca. Dan is the field director for the Uruguay field, that one of those six departments that I mentioned. And then Andy and Colette Thompson. Andy is one of the sons of Terry and Carol, which some of you know. And they are bouncing around from field to field. Right now, right then they were in Uruguay, but now they're going to be in Chile. And they filled in for the Flink family as well. So one of the works is in Fray Ventos. Here's the Duarte family. And also assisted by the Proto family. And now Mariano's a good recruiter. He's gone over to Chile at one of the camps there, and he met a young couple and convinced them to come over to Uruguay to help them, a national Chilean couple, to help them in the church work there. So they're going to have another couple that's coming along. And just some pictures of the work there in Fray Ventos and some evangelistic meetings. I'll hurry through some of these because these aren't the ones that I took. Then there's Jung, or remember Jung, that's where Bobby Villette is ministering. And they have a little group there going. You can see some. I think that is in his little house. Very small little place. Paysandú is a city in the northern middle section of Uruguay, which is where our camp was. So I traveled to that city. There, Bruno and Audrey and their children, Callie and Miguel. Miguel is a little bit older now, and that kid is fearless. He runs around the camp like he owns the place, and I'll tell a little bit more about him if I remember to do that. They have all kinds of activities there, family and youth camp and children's camp, to help the churches there in that place. There's some more there as well. Construction work. This actually is the maintenance building on the camp where I was. But they're just mentioning 2 years ago the need to finish with renovations of the central bathrooms. That has been completed now. This one is not, to build a sixplex for needed housing and in kitchen renovations and expansion. I can confirm they need renovations there, and then some help with the parking. So those projects could go forward, but they just lack finances to do that. Salto is farther north in the country. I'll show you a map. Andy and Colette Thompson were there. And then some pictures there of the work. Has a national pastor there now. That is a Uruguayan native pastor working there. All the churches that GMSA plants right now are called Bible Centers, so Centro Biblico. It says with a little bit of a V sound in Salto. And the churches are associated together. Now, Montevideo is back down to the south. That's the capital city. And Dan and his wife and children are there. By the way, their oldest, Kevin, now is being left in the United States to finish his high school. So they're going to be going back without him. There is a picture of the city. And they are looking to start later this year to a new church plant in that city. There's 1.5 million souls, 1.5 million souls in that city. So they asked us to pray for that country and the needs that are there. Okay, so let me put mine up here. Okay, so I titled this missions trip Uruguay 2014, and of course I wasn't involved in church planning per se, but really strengthening and encouraging the missionaries and carrying on the business of the mission. So we're way up here in Michigan. Fly right down here over the Amazon and come right down into Montevideo. That's the capital city where the airport is, not too far from Buenos Aires in Argentina. This river here separates the two countries. The camp that I went to, so we drove from here up to Paysandú, and just north of Paysandú is the camp where I stayed. And that is right next to the river, which separates the two countries. You might remember Tim and Christina Gosen. I'll show pictures of them. They minister in this area, actually in a place called Gualeguaychú. The Chú is missing there, but that it's in this area generally. And then in Chivilcoy in Argentina, this is where Tom and Debbie Gibbons are ministering, planting a church and building a Bible camp there in Argentina. So those are a couple other names and places that you are familiar with, or hopefully are familiar with. I didn't see this myself, but one of the other missionaries traveling into the country flew over this in the Andes between Argentina and Chile. That's the highest point in North and South America, over 22,000 feet high. I can't remember the name of that mountain, but here's the airport. This was another picture of another missionary's plane. My plane was much bigger than this one. The wing is very small compared to the plane I was on, but you see that number one there and number two. This is the main airport for the whole country. It has four gates at the airport. You know, in Detroit, there's 100 gates. So just to give you an idea of the scale of what's going on there. The camp itself, if you look, you can find it on Google Earth. And this is the camp director's home, Bruno and Audrey. And this is the maintenance building. Here's the main building where we had all of our worship meetings and teaching meetings. And then the bathroom facilities here, all renovated. Then there's a pool, which is very nice to cool off. And I only got to go in it once, but it was very enjoyable on a very hot day. These little buildings here are the cabins. It's hard to see them in this picture, but they're A-frame cabins with metal roofs. And then a larger cabin they call the lodge. That's the building that I stayed in. That's it right there. So there's a bunch of rooms in there. Actually, a family that helps on the camp lives in that building. It has a bathroom that's okay, serviceable. And most people, though, actually preferred to walk from here up this way to go to the newly renovated bathrooms. So I actually used this facility here. Had hot water and running water. The sinks were very small. About, you know, that was the whole sink. You know, you're probably used to a big thing like this, but that was the whole thing. And but it was sufficient. Got the job done. There's those cabins I mentioned, the A-frames. There's a soccer field here. They love soccer in Uruguay. Big pastime. There's some more of those A-frame cabins. Look right over here. I'm going to show you next a picture of that. This is the miniature golf course that they've just built. And end of last year or something. I can't remember exactly which. But when they rent the camp facility out to the government of Uruguay, who sends all their children to camp. And when they do that, they don't have control over the program of the camp, but they have control over the landscaping and other things. So they're actually, this is a gospel golf course. So you walk on, it takes you through the garden and the ark, and this is the manger here, and there's one that's shaped like a cross back here. And so they're going to have signs once it's all completed explaining the whole gospel to these young people. So that will be nice. There's the maintenance building on the camp. This is the camp director's home behind those trees. They live there right on the facility. There's the pool. Also on the camp, they have a very nice place under a bunch of trees where they have carved out a place to sit and eat. We ate many of our meals outside, lunchtime and dinnertime, especially when it wasn't raining. There was a lot of rain the week that I was, two weeks that I was there. Here is meals at the table they set out. We almost always had salad for lunch and dinner. Now, we also had other things, but there was always salad there, and it was good, good stuff. Lots of tomatoes all the time, lettuce all the time, onions, cucumbers, pickled or just in water, whichever you like. This is the main building back here where we had our meetings. There's a game gallery in there for the young people right here, and then but kind of back where this taller roof is where the meeting space is at. There's a little play structure they've been working on for the smaller kids. I'll show you a little bit about the city nearby. Here's the church. That up there, if you could read it, says the Bible Center Paysandú. And the building is rather long with a little driveway back into the back. That's common, actually, to have kind of the front right up to the street and then a drive in and then a place for the car to park in the back and a little yard back there. This is kind of downtown in a gathering area where they have a nice kind of park. This river here is very dirty. The water's brown, but you're looking at Uruguay here, and on the other side of the river, Argentina. So that was kind of neat to be so close there. Here is a grove of eucalyptus trees that they have there. Some of them became diseased, and so you see the stumps here. They had to cut out a lot of the trees, which is a disappointment to some of our missionary friends who liked it the way it was before. Here's a picture of the city. That's a crack in the windshield, sorry, there. But you can kind of get a flavor of how it looks. Crowded and narrow streets. There's also poverty there, as there is in every country. Our Lord told us that you will always have the poor with you. So there's plenty of opportunity to be helpful to the poor, because you're always going to have them. Poverty is a result of the curse. And so you see these homes here, some electricity in the area, but the windows are kind of like got sheets and stuff in them for shade. Here's another picture of the same. I got some palm trees like here, and this strange evergreen. I don't know what was going on with this thing, but it had long branches at the top and short ones at the bottom. So trash right alongside the road there in this community. I just shot that real quick to give you an idea of what that's like. we're driving on the road this way, and coming towards us this way is this, who knows what this is? Yeah, that's right. 55, is it 55 or 57? 53? It was running. There were some of these old cars down there running, just running along nicely. So, what's that? Yeah. No, it may be better than what they have there. Yes. Way up here? I think that was a dog. Yeah. They do have wild boar there, but there are tons of stray dogs. They're just all over the place. It's very common to see them. Looks like there's something in front of the... Oh, yeah, okay. Let's see if I can slip that down. Yeah, it's like July there. Winter gets, you know, well, the best way to describe it is like Georgia. It's like the climate of Georgia. So it doesn't really get cold there, and it can get very, very hot. So one of the things that I did on a couple of the days was work on some projects. I had Bobby Vallette, the one that missionary I mentioned who can't walk very well, has this four-wheel drive wheelchair, and it was broken down, and some guy had taken it apart, and you know, we had to put it back together. There were some broken parts on it, so we replaced a module back here, and I checked a bunch of connections with the electrical tester and so on. And we finally figured out, I had to do it about two or three times to get it right in the right order, put it back together. But after a few hours, I had a functioning wheelchair again, and it worked almost all of it. There was one part that was broken we couldn't fix. We'll have to work on that. But that helped him to get around during the week. Here's the weather. Friday when I left, after lunch, we had lunch at around noon, 1 o'clock, and when we left at 2:19 in the afternoon, there's the temperature in the car that says the outside air temperature, 38.5 Celsius, which is over 100 degrees, 103 or 4 or something like that. Now, then we left from there. This was in Jung, I think, and then we left from there and drove south to get to the airport so we could make our flight that night back to Miami. And we drove through a rainstorm along the way, and the temperature dropped to 24.5 Celsius right after that rainstorm. Unfortunately, then it climbed back up again, so it was pretty hot. Now, there were three or four days where it was extremely hot. The rest of the days in the middle of the time I was there were a blessing because God sent rain, and the rain kept things cool, so that was nice. Very humid still and sticky, but a couple of those nights, no air conditioning, it was just... you sweat it out. So there were some people kind of cranky because they didn't get the sleep they had hoped for. I was able to sleep okay, but the sheets were wet. The pillowcase was wet. It was just sticky. So some about the food. I'll just give some examples. I don't have names for all of this. I just ate it, and it was good. I have some of the names, but this was kind of, I don't know what you call it, but this was a bunch of like peppers and stuff, and then cheese just mounded on the top and all cooked together on this kind of bread. Yeah, it's a little bit of kind of like a pizza. There is pizza there. We enjoyed. This is what it looks like. This is about a 3 foot long oval of pizza that this gentleman is making, and then they put it into this igloo kind of oven that's cooked. The fire is by wood. The heat comes from the wood. This, they don't use this all the time. They have an indoor kitchen with ovens and things, but they use this for that purpose. We went out one night to a restaurant. One of the traditions that the missionaries have is to take the guest speakers from the United States out one night to a town nearby the camp, and they eat a nice meal that they pay for. Well, we do because we support them, but they like to treat us. And so we went to this restaurant. The restaurant there opened at like 9 o'clock at night. The siesta time in the afternoon just shuts everything down. And if you go to a restaurant at 8 o'clock, you'll be sitting there waiting for somebody to come and show up. So one night we ate at 8:30, right at the restaurant's opening, a different restaurant than this. We ate at this one late. So they told us, don't eat a lot of heavy dinner at 6 o'clock when our normal dinner time was. just eat a salad or something light. We'll go out later. So after the evening meeting, when there was the preaching, then we went out to this restaurant. There's the table again. I'll maybe give names here if I can. Let's see. Harold Gosen and his wife Priscilla. Harold is the missionary with one arm, remember? He lost his arm when he was 2 years old in a farming accident. Sergio and Andrea Duarte, Bobby Vallette, myself, Dan. I can't remember. I think this was one of the young ladies helping with the children. Mariano and Becky Proto. Stephen Golden, I'll mention about him later. Bruno and Audrey. Dan and Liz Thompson. Dan is another son of Terry and Carol Thompson and his wife Liz. Here's Ken Fillmore. He is a pastor from Nova Scotia. He was the other speaker for the conference. We had about, altogether, I counted 20 messages, either devotionals, preaching, or workshops, and he did about half of those, and I did about half of those during the time we were there. Matt and Deanna Vanderwarker from West Virginia, he and his wife worked with the teens during the camp. And then Christy Flink is another Thompson girl, actually. She's married to David Flink. They were here. They were working in Antofagasta. David was standing on a chair taking this picture, so you don't see him in the picture. This is not the plate that I ate at that restaurant. This was the version without bread. And I didn't get the olives on mine, but I had basically like this. It has tomato, lettuce, ham, beef, fried egg, kind of mayonnaise and stuff all like that, and French fries as well. And it's kind of a big sandwich. So I was very hungry. I ate a whole one, and some of the guys ate, and girls ate half, and that was plenty for them. But I enjoyed that whole sandwich. I wasn't over full either myself, but so afterwards we decided to go out and get ice cream, which was good. But I asked Mariano, I said, how much, you know, how much was this thing? He said, oh, 3,000 calories minimum. He said it with a Spanish accent. It was funny. But I don't know if it really was 3,000, but it was good. So, also, there was this kind of a peaches and cream, chaja, they call it, dessert, kind of a light and fluffy thing. On the Friday before I left, I had this kind of ham and beef layered, breaded, fried, and then put the cheese on top and this onion and tomato sauce, and it was a big meal for lunch. This is not Uruguayan food. This was a Bon Voyage gift from the Brattons, and so I decided to put this picture in there as well, and it's going, and I didn't get the picture of it gone. It didn't last too long, but anyway, that's good old American Uruguayan food. We had meetings in this room, business meetings for the General Council, and international business where all the missionaries participated and had things to have to vote on. So those are some pictures of that. Here's us singing in one of the meetings. Here's Tim and Christina Gosen, who we support. Harold and Priscilla are Tim's parents, also with the mission. You see little Madeline. She has not made it through the meeting. She is sleeping there. Little Lucas Flink. Looking right at the camera, what a great shot, and his sister, and let's see, we'll see some others here as well. There is Terry and Carol, one of the other missionaries, another single missionary there. Colby and Lisa Holmes, I had never met them before in person, so I had the privilege to meet them. They were the only ones in the mission I think I hadn't met up until this conference, so that was nice. Ken Fillmore from Nova Scotia, People's Church in Truro, T-R-U-R-O, Nova Scotia, has spent some time on Prince Edward Island as well, but he was the speaker. Spoke on Elijah and Elisha. This is Lois Kenny giving a testimony. Dan Vallette giving testimony and leading a meeting. He's the leader of the mission in Uruguay. Here is Deanna Vanderwarker, who is a guest from West Virginia, and one of the MKs, one of the Duarte girls, singing a special music together. Here's Harold and Priscilla Gosen giving a testimony. They're going to come back to the States on furlough. Here's Ken Fillmore again speaking. Abby, this young lady here that works with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, you've heard of that maybe. She visited on the camp from Montevideo, the capital city, and worked with the children, and they had a little presentation on the last night that we were there. It was Wednesday night, the night before the last day of camp. We had a little game night, and that was fun. Teams divided up, and it was good fun there. Plant life. Stephanie tells me this is a catalpa tree or something like it. It grows these things I call green beans, seed pods, and there's the leaf of it, kind of a little bit of a heart-shaped leaf, and you can see the size of my hand relative to it, so that's a pretty big leaf. Along the highway going north and south, there's these groves of eucalyptus trees. They planted them just in straight rows. They like to grow those for the wood pulp and other factors, things that come out of those trees. There's another picture of the same. For you young people, here's some cat equipment working on the roads, brand new equipment. So some of that they have. People. This is not a person, but we were able to visit in one home on the way on Friday back, and I enjoyed seeing this. This was an elderly lady who lived in this home. I didn't take her picture, but a picture of one of the rooms in her house, kind of just a real nice porch area enclosed like this, open to the outside through there. There were some young people helping at the camp. This young man is named Sebastian, and he was very attentive to my needs and to help us out in whatever we had to do on the camp. And he was up late, up early, all over the place, just helping. He wants to be a missionary to China when he grows up. He's getting there quickly. Another young man named Martin, there, enjoyed his fellowship as well. And I've got their email addresses and hope to stay up with them, keep up with them. Here's Andrew Gosen, Tim and Christina's boy. He's 15 now, I think, wants to go to Bible college or Bible Institute as well. So hopefully the Lord will work in his life that way. Here is Mariano and Becky. You might remember we prayed for Becky. She had thyroidectomy. She had a large goiter as well that had to be removed. And so that was in November, and they're back in Uruguay working. Here's Tom and Debbie Gibbons. We also support them in their work in Chivilcoy. Here's Tim and Christina again, and Andres or Andrew and his sisters, Ruth and Patricia there. David and Christy Flink. I'm not showing you all the missionary pictures, but some of them. You know these folks, they were here. They're planting a church in the northern desert of Chile. You saw those pictures. Here's yours truly. Matt and Deanna, Pastor Ken Fillmore. Some animal life. Well, that's not very interesting, although it was to see that cat going after the bird up in the tree. Here is a gross picture. They found an armadillo, and it was kind of cornered by the dog and injured, so they ended up killing it and eating it. Now, armadillos carry leprosy. They can. But in Uruguay, they're eaten as just kind of matter of fact, no problem. This was the tail of that armadillo. These hands here are the hands of that little boy, Miguel. He was delighted to run around with the tail and the tongue of this armadillo and terrorize the little girls. You know how to. What are you boys laughing about? Right here is a little hard to see because it was at night and I didn't have a flash on the camera that I was using, but that is a toad. The toad is about like this big, like bigger than a softball, but not quite like a soccer ball, but it was big. And it kind of really tough, leathery skin. And there was a dog around, here somewhere, kind of bothering it, and that's what alerted me to its presence. So I was able to get that picture just to show you the big toads there. These guys went fishing and caught a fish. You can't really see it here, but there are teeth, pretty good little teeth on that fish. They have many varieties of piranha in that river that runs by the camp. They say they don't bite too much. They also have snakes there. They killed two snakes in the 2 weeks that we were there. One was definitely a poisonous snake, very poisonous. And one, that Stephen that I mentioned, missionary, a short-term missionary from West Virginia, very adventurous fellow. He killed a snake and cleaned it and refrigerated it and then cooked it and then ate it. So there you have it. So they are edible. There's a large bird there called what I call a large killdeer on steroids. Very tall bird with long legs and very loud. I saw a flock of green parrots fly by one day, and I could notice those. That was very interesting to see those. I mentioned the piranha. At night, the spiders would come out in the cabin, and there were several times I had to do them in. Large things. I mean, with their legs like this, and one of them jumped. I mean, just kind of, you know, not just run, but jump along. Just really weird. And they have 3 million people and 9 million cows in Uruguay. I don't have as many pictures here now, but some challenges just to report on the country and where the missions work. There, like here, churches are made of people, and people are sinners, and people have problems. And so we have the same in the South American churches. Our missionaries, I would say, in the main, are under-supported financially. All of, when I say ours, I mean the whole GMSA missionary family. There are many of them that are at 70-75% of their recommended support. Some of them have months where after their health care is taken out and after the taxes and everything else, into their bank account comes $800 or $900. And they live on that. And that's a burden to me, because these are the servants of God. And they do not have sometimes the things that they need to get by. Health care is a major issue for them. I'm planning to work with the mission to try to help them find a better solution for that. It's because it's international. Obamacare doesn't affect them, or it does affect them, but it doesn't help them. And so there's all kinds of different factors with the international thing. You can get cheap health care in Argentina, for example, for most things, but they have to have coverage. The mission makes the missionaries have coverage. So if they have a major illness, they come back to the States, they can get that taken care of, whether it's cancer or whatever. Our missionaries need encouragement. Just my presence there, it was, last time I went, this time I went, just a blessing to them. Somebody from the United States comes and they care about us. They haven't just sent us off and sent some money and go do your work. So that is an encouragement to me, to be able to be an encouragement to them. And one of the reasons why I'm giving this report is because Fellowship Bible Church, you guys all gave money, the church council approved, to send me there to Uruguay. And so you have a part of that, even though you didn't really participate in a personal way directly. You did through your financial support. And so God will not forget that work that you have been involved in. So if you can send an email to your missionary, make a Skype phone call. If you want to do that sometime, let me know and we'll get you hooked up. It's not really convenient for us to send them packages. In Argentina, for example, the import restrictions are so bad that they can't import dollars. They cannot get stuff unless they go to a certain place and pay in advance of knowing what the stuff is, a duty or a fee. Then they see what it is, then they can take it home. And sometimes the fee is more than the thing is worth. So better for us to send finances. They don't use, in Argentina, they can't cash checks, because the government and the financial system is so messed up, inflation is so bad, they have to use different services to exchange currencies, and it's a real difficult situation. Pray for GMSA mission leadership and decisions, and the need for laborers to plant churches, to build, to work in camps, and Bible teaching is evident. The people of Uruguay, only about 1.5% are evangelical, according to the statistics the missionaries told me. But most of those are Pentecostal. 10 to 1 In other words, take that 1.5%, divide by 10, you'll get an idea of maybe who is actually sort of like we are in our faith. 22,000 people in the city of Fray Ventos. There are 10 Pentecostal churches, one from our missionaries that is preaching the true gospel. When I say Pentecostal here, I'm not just saying kind of mildly Pentecostal, but wildly Pentecostal. Prosperity gospel, all kinds of weird stuff. Montevideo is the capital city, has half of the population of the country. Many Pentecostal churches, but our mission has, as of right now, not a single church in that city. And I don't know of any other fundamental churches there. There may be some, but that's obviously a real need. So there's a vanishingly small percentage of true Christians there. I picked this up from Wikipedia this afternoon after doing a dry run of this. Political observers consider Uruguay the most secular country in the Americas. Its secularization began with the relatively minor role of the church in the colonial era compared with other parts of the Spanish Empire. So Chile and Argentina, for example, very heavy Catholic influence, not Uruguay. Small number of Uruguay's Indians and their fierce resistance to proselytism reduced the influence of ecclesiastical authorities. After independence, anti-clerical ideas spread in Uruguay from France, further eroding the influence of the church. Civil marriage was recognized in 1837, and in 1861, the state took over the running of public cemeteries. 1907, divorce was legalized. 1909, all religious instruction was banned from state schools. 2014, marijuana is fully legalized in Uruguay. That's not in here, but just did happen. Under the influence of the Colorado political party reformer José Ordóñez, complete separation of church and state was introduced with the new constitution in 1917. There are maybe 25 sound fundamental missionaries in the whole country of Uruguay. The land is called, as I titled my talk, the graveyard of missionaries. Most missionaries do not return for a second term because the soil is so hard. Nice enough people, but they don't care about God. And there's somewhat of an air of pride about the atheism in the country. I'll end with some blessings. Many churches have been planted already by the Gospel Mission of South America. In Chile is where our greatest success has been. There are probably 80 to 100 churches that have been planted in the 90 years of the mission's history. There are ongoing church plants. Northern Chile right now, very excellent work by Dave and Christy Flink. Fray Ventos and Jung in Uruguay, I mentioned the Duartes and Bobby Vallette. Montevideo, church plan is upcoming by Dan Vallette and his family. And then in Chivilcoy and in Gualeguaychú, Tim Gosen and Tom Gibbons are working in those cities as well. There's Bible institutes and camps to support the work of the church there. And then you have a part in all of these works as well. Let me see if I can share just a couple of other things since we're here. Let's see, where did it go? I guess I closed it out. I'll try to bring it back here. One of my roles at GMSA is to put their website together and update it. And so, with any luck, I'll be able to show you that in just a second here. This is the pastors. We've helped the pastors of the churches to get together. These are mostly national pastors and missionaries. Getting together they get together every year in one of the countries, then take a year off, and then do it again, that four-year cycle. So I put those posts on there. Here's some pictures of a cabin that's being built at another camp in Chile. Actually, the camp I stayed at 3 years ago. They're building new cabins. They have to build in brick and concrete because the termites are so bad. We have another couple that's helping us in Canada. Starting a new Bible college in Uruguay. Five fundamental missions are getting together and starting a Bible college there. GMSA is one of those missions, and we're thankful to be involved in that work just a little bit as well. Let me see if I can go back here. There's another updated picture of that cabin that I showed you just a few minutes ago, or a minute ago. Here's the teen camp, or youth camp they call it. Here's Stephen Golden, that fellow who is a very adventurous culinary tastes and snake. You remember David and Patty West and their hope to build or teach in a Bible college in Argentina. This post here is from David and Christy Flink. I took from their material. They're expecting to have, they have 350,000 people in their city right now. In 20 years, they expect that to balloon to 550,000. And there's a real need for churches there in that community. These folks are heading to Argentina, James and Danelle Morell, and their tribe. They really are adding to their tribe. And here's Mariano and Becky again. That's an older picture, actually. So I keep that website up to date if you want to go there and look at the GMSA.org. The Southern Sentinel is the name of the blog that's on that website. So there's some more pictures for you. I don't know if I've been able to cover everything just so well, but if you have any questions, please feel free to ask those, and I can hopefully help you. Yes, Laura. Yeah, that's right. In what's called the Southern Cone of South America, the bottom three countries, Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay. Are sending countries. About 90 years, started by a man named William Strong. Yes, he was a Presbyterian, or had a Presbyterian background. He started the mission as the Soldiers and Gospel Mission of South America. And he went to Chile to evangelize the Chilean army, soldiers. And that's how the mission got started. All over the place. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get a picture of that. But as we drove down the highway going south to the capital city, the cattle were everywhere. Just all along the, you know, they had fenced in areas, rolling grasslands, just beautiful countryside, very lush grass in many areas. Yeah, actually, beef is more in Argentina, actually. But they had a lot of beef there, too, in Uruguay. Pork as well. Yeah. So, any other questions? Yes. I don't know how many square miles. It's much smaller than the state of Texas, I can tell you that for sure. Yeah, maybe a third of the size of Texas. Yeah, half of the people of the country live in Montevideo, and the other half are scattered in these small cities all throughout the country. And yeah, I would say so. I mean, there's a whole range there. One thing I forgot to mention on the Friday that we left, I had a little chance to be in one of the mission homes, a mission home that's owned in the capital city. It's going to be the base from which this church plant goes forward. And I had a chance to rest. Every once in a while, you'd hear the horse-drawn cart clopping by alongside the cars, and a lot of motorcycles, too. So, no net at night. You probably do want to check your sheets to make sure there are no spiders living in there. I don't know about that. The spiders didn't actually bother me as far as the bedroom, being in the bed or anything. But there were mosquitoes, and there is dengue fever there. And I don't know that there's any vaccination for that. I don't think so. So some nights I would just put on, because we did have mosquitoes in the room, I just put on a mosquito lotion with a high level of DEET and just sleep. You can recover from it, yeah. Yeah, but it, Anna have that? No, she didn't have it. D-E-N-G-U-E, fever. No, she didn't have that. Okay. Anyway, yeah, it really knocks you out for a while. High fever and just makes you real sick. So, yes, sir? I did not play any soccer there. No, I was busy with other things. Actually, thank you. That reminds me of something. So, we had the morning meeting, breakfast, well, devotional morning meeting, and breakfast, and then business meetings. Usually, we had lunch. Then after lunch was rest time, siesta for a few hours. About 4:30, 4:45, we'd come back for a workshop on different things. I did Reformed theology, Charismatic theology, took questions and answers, had a workshop on technology just to help people with avoiding viruses and using email and all that sort of thing. But during that siesta, a few days I was able to get rest. Other times, some of the missionaries that I pictured there, I talked with them. And, you know, it's you're talking to them in English, and they have church problems, and they might just like to have a listening ear or advice from a pastor, you know. So several times I spent 2 or 3 hours with missionaries that way, several couples. So my time was not just full of rest and vacation, but it was a lot of meetings and talking with folks. So that was a blessing to be able to help them. Anybody else? The work of missions goes on, my friends. And sometimes people ask, why do you have missionaries in South America? Aren't they okay down there? Well, there's a lot of tribal influence. There's a lot of Catholic influence. And we understand that Catholic theology teaches salvation by works. So Catholics are not okay if they follow the teaching of their church. And so, you know, we don't want to be offensive to people, but the fact of the matter is Catholics need Christ just as much as the animists and the all other false gods. Give you an example. Dan and Liz Thompson work in the mountainous areas in southern Chile. They have some churches there they minister to. One day they were invited by a lady who is from, there's an Indian tribe there called the Mapuche Indians. And this lady was saved, and she was throwing a party for her granddaughter who got saved. And none of the men of the family were there because none of the men are saved. All of the men of the community were across the street at an initiation ritual for a 16-year-old girl to become a witch doctor. That's in Chile. So you don't want to think of Chile as, or these countries as just all spiritually okay. There are lost people there, so desperately lost. They need Christ. So the need is great. The need for laborers is great. The need for finances, if you can't go, if you have some extra of the Lord's money and want to use it for this mission or others, there's the sky is the only limit, you know. There's plenty of work that needs to be done and things to be built and missionaries that need support. So thank you for listening in, and let me give this report. Let me just pray as we close tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know the scriptures are true, that the fields are white already unto harvest. If we just lift up our eyes and look upon the fields, we would see that. And Lord, sometimes we are privileged to support laborers who make the harvest and do the harvest work directly with their own hands. And sometimes, like this time, I was privileged to go down and see the work myself and enjoy the work and see what's happening and be an encouragement. And we thank you for that. Whichever way it is, Lord, whether we participate directly in the harvesting activities or support those that do, we know that you reward that, and that is pleasing in your sight. Help us to be earnest in our support of local and global missions from now until the Lord returns. May we use our finances wisely, remembering the needs are greater elsewhere than probably in our own homes. And we pray for your help to know how to allocate those resources in Jesus' name. Take these folks home safely, we pray, and may the thoughts and pictures that we shared, the burden for the lost, not leave our hearts. We pray in his name. Amen.